Good enough to be separated by us. My name is Mark Laredo. I am the chair of the Land Use Committee. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee of the City Council. I'm going to quickly introduce my colleagues. Staff members are going to get right to work. We have a very full docket tonight. To my immediate right is Councilor Greg Schwartz, Councilor-at-Large from Ward 6 and a member of the committee. Stepping in is Councilor Tim Cody, Councilor-at-Large from Ward 3 and a member of the committee. Next to him is Councilor Jake Auchincloss, Councilor-at-Large from Ward 2 and a member of the committee. In front of Councilor Auchincloss is Councilor Jake Harney, Ward Councilor from Ward 4, a member of the committee. In the back room is Rita Young from the legal department. To my left is Robert Waddick, also from the legal department. I've got Michael Kaliva from the planning department, our committee clerk, Nadia Khan. We are being audio taped. I'm going to try to go through, we have a number of items that I expect to go through very quickly. And then we have two substantive items, the Sunrise Project and the Tesla Wind Project, which I expect will take us the bulk of the evening. So the first item on the list is 97-17, a special permit to suspend a non-conforming use at 966 Watertown Street by D.R. Stone Corp. This is in Ward 3. There is a request to withdraw this without prejudice. For those who are unaware, that means that the petitioner is withdrawing the petition, but doing it without prejudice means that they can refile it at a later date. If it's withdrawn with prejudice, they're prohibited from filing the same petition for a 2-year period. So, Attorney Buchbinder, do you have anything you want to say here?
No, just that I wanted to reach out and thank Councilor Cody. He was very helpful in setting up a meeting with the petitioner and some of the neighbors. And we were hopeful we could work through some of the issues, but it just became very clear that wasn't going to happen. So I spoke to my clients, and they said, you know, let's find another place where we won't be creating a group on that.
Okay.
So that's
all right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Councilor Cody, for reaching out to us. Do I have a motion to withdraw then?
So I have a motion to withdraw.
Okay. Motion by Councilor Cody to withdraw in favor of
without prejudice.
All in favor of withdrawal, 5 in favor, none opposed. It's withdrawn. Of course, as with all other items, goes to the full City Council meeting, which is next Monday evening. Next, 229-17, special permit to allow vehicle sales at 454-458 Watertown Street, PG LLC. Ward 1, this has been postponed to October 3rd. I need a motion to postpone. Moved by Councilor Auchincloss. All in favor of postponement. 5 in favor, none opposed. It will be heard on October 3rd. I'm presuming nobody's here for that petition. The next item is 146-17, a special permit to amend Board Order 229 to allow for a swing set. This was Michael and Gina Rassi. This is a 93 Delvey Street, Ward 1. I understand from Attorney Buchbinder this petition is also to be withdrawn without prejudice?
Yes, that's correct. I actually was not here at the initial public hearing. My associate, Franklin Forsley, is there. I understand that there was some pushback on this. I know one of the neighbors here, I recognize an expert neighbor. And, you know, just going back and thinking about it, we just decided not to push it. And Mike and Gina wanted a chance to get through the summer and, you know, possibly on aggregate, they decided it's probably best to withdraw.
Well, that's still near the prerogative. It's been Ward 1, so can I have a motion? Councilor Auchincloss moved to withdraw. All in favor of withdrawal? 5 in favor, none opposed. Okay. I think we've taken care of those items. Our next and first substantive item is 43-17, special permit to extend a non-conforming two-family use at 893 Watertown Street, James and Carol Hoop. This is in Ward 3. Just so folks who don't regularly attend these meetings, we usually hold them in the chamber. There's more opportunity to speak and microphone in a little more formal setting. But the Zoning Board of Appeals is using the chamber tonight, at least for the next hour or so. So we're relegated to this room. Attorney Buchbinder, is this yours as well?
Yes, it is.
This is a full employment night for you.
That's
good.
So for the record, my name is Stephen Buchbinder. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Schlesinger and Buchbinder with offices at 1200 Walnut Street in Eden Highlands. And I'm here this evening representing the petition of Carol and Jim Hoops, who are here along with Carlos Gray, their architect.
This is an aerial view of the property. By way of background, 893 Watertown Street is located on a 19,561 square foot lot. It's in a single residence free zoning district. The site's currently improved with a 5,908 square foot two family dwelling, which is built in approximately 1840 and is a detached 342 square foot garage. The property is currently used as a two-unit condominium. My client's own community at 893. The two-family structure is legally non-conforming pursuant to section 3.4.1 of the zoning ordinances as it was in existence prior to the creation of zoning in the city. My client essentially is seeking to add a one-story, 1,004 square foot addition to the side and rear of the unit at the northwest corner. You can see it right up here in the upper left-hand corner. Mm-hmm. It says proposed addition. The addition would add a master bedroom suite, including a bathroom, and enlarge an existing family room. The next few slides show the existing and proposed elevation. So here we have the existing exterior view on the north side. On top, the proposed, and as you can see, this addition is coming out this way in front of the existing on the bottom. The next shot shows the view from the west. Again, on top is the existing, and on bottom is the proposed. And finally, on the next shot, we have the proposed northeast facade, existing on top, and the proposed below. The proposed addition meets all of the setbacks and dimensional requirements for a building in an SR3 zoning district. However, any extension of the existing structure results in the extension of the non-conforming use. Therefore, we do need special permit relief pursuant to section 7.8.2c2. The planning department memorandum is very supportive of the project. It notes that the proposed addition will not be substantially more detrimental to the neighborhood than the existing non-conforming use, and that the proposed addition would have limited visibility from adjoining properties and public ways. The planning department in its report also noted what it believes to be an error in the SAR calculation, which we had submitted originally. We went back and checked with our architect and agreed with the planning department's calculation. And what that means is that the revised SAR would be 0.35 as opposed to 0.37. 3.8 is the latter's right, so it worked either way. But this is a little smaller by the calculation. I will say, in reference to our architect, that calculation with this new massing thing in it, it's pretty complicated. You basically need an advanced math to really figure it out. But I did want to thank Michael and the planning department for bringing that to our attention. I did want to note in closing that the addition is in keeping with the 2007 comprehensive plan, where it encourages enlarging older homes to preserve existing structures, but allowing homeowners to meet the needs of today's families. And that's really all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Why don't we hear from Mr. Greer, is your position? Why don't we hear from you, and then we'll entertain questions or comments from colleagues, and if there's any member of the public who's been heard, we'll entertain comments. Go ahead, Mr. Greer.
Whether the proposed extension is substantially more detrimental to the existing non-conforming use in the neighborhood. This is a similar area map to what we saw, so showing the location in yellow on Watertown Street, located in a mainly residential neighborhood. This is the zone, again, residential along Watertown and to the north, with a business district to the south. Then it began to reflect that zoning The residential must be to the north and along Watertown Street. The commercial needs to be to the south. The site plan, as we can show as well, bring a fairly large lot. And so the existing structure really in a direct outline, very important is, and the addition is in the gray. This is again similar elevation to what we saw on the north. The elevations again to the left and right of the structure are the going to the left is in effect the left hand side from the perspective from the neighbor to the left or west. Again, similar perspective to what we just saw. Northwest, perspective from south east and west. This is the FAR calculation sheet that was just mentioned, and the updated one to the right, which indicates that the resulting FAR is in fact lower than what the application has. Here's some detailed photos. The addition would be to the left hand side of this off where the photo ends. You can see. This is so close to the home. What you see behind the fence would be the location of the one-story addition. This is again over the fence. That's where the addition would be kind of built off the house and towards us from that elevation of the house. This is an opening from the other side. Again, the rear inside yard is fenced in and clean. So the addition will be directly in front of where we're looking. That's the location. It will be an extension coming off the rear, off that single-story addition that's there now. Another looking for location, showing again the fencing. And the apartment next door actually has a small garage. You can see the peak roof right beyond the fence. Then the rear yard in civil location. Again, some of the screening with the fencing along the left side and vegetation to the rear. And that's all we can
do. Thank you, Mr. Grieva. Any questions by my colleagues? We've been joined by Councilor Rick Lipoff, Councilor at Large from UAB. Any questions for the petitioner or the planning department? Let me open up the public hearing. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? All right. Seeing none, I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close the public hearing.
All in favor of closing the public hearing. Just in favor, none opposed. I'll just comment. It seems to me like it's what I consider very routine, well thought out petition. The lack of questions, as Attorney Bookbinder knows, doesn't mean a lack of interest. Lack of questions is generally good for petitioners. It means that the planning department sent a thorough memo and we have our information. So, do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Councilor Cody. Do you have a draft board order, Mr. Grieva?
The one proposed finding.
As is our custom, why don't we all take a moment to go through the finding and make sure that we're all comfortable with it. And then if we are, I don't think there'll be any extra conditions here, am I correct? Okay. Good evening, Mr. President. We've been joined by Scott Lennon, President of the City Council, Council at Large from Ward 1. I think, Mr. Grieva, the second to last line, the proposed addition would have limited visibility. May anyone ever would go. Want to be consistent. Anything else, folks? Yes, Councilor Schwartz.
The engineering memo had mentioned a water management plan. Is that referenced in the order?
Mm-hmm.
So Because it adds over 1,000 square feet of impervious surface, the engineer record is designed to collection and infiltration system to mitigate the increase of runoff from the addition. So, is that reference, is that part of the general reference that we have in the... I guess we haven't moved to conditions anyway, but it was a
different condition. Well, so we disagree that said there's no unusual conditions here. So the question is...
So
everyone's okay with the findings. Let's look at the conditions as non-standard.
So the one that I'm saying is we can add the O-N-D standard. So what we have here is this is the continuous conduct. The extent of the unit that gives the difference in editing is going to be specified in amendment to the kind of stuff. So we enroll in these cells that editing before everything is
So what are you saying that the condominium document, because the land, the mass of the building is now greater, has to be reflected in the revised documentation?
And Mr. Chairman, that's fine within the special plan. Actually, we have to go to the document with the zone and the building, if this wouldn't be a full WX2.
Fine. But you had a comment, Councilor Schwartz. I don't know if that was addressed or not, the engineering issue.
Yeah, just I guess the plan referencing condition, does that include the, I mean, the engineering has to be addressed, right? I mean, that's just part of the process. We don't have to specify that. We didn't hear anything about the engineering and it was in the packet.
Yeah, so if I'm a site plan, it does need to be reviewed,
and the system is aware of that, okay. And then the only other thing is, I just noticed in the zoning, like, table, it didn't have the side setbacks, at least one of the side setbacks, even though it's adequate, it's closer to 7.5, it's 8.2, I think, in your memo, you mentioned that, Mike? The left side setback is 8.2 feet, you said? But on the table, it's only, it's a plus minus 18 feet.
So the zoning memo is done before the initial filing to this project. It is subject for this thing, I think, more. Or for the very good zoning review work for that. The refiling later on, and the plan changed somewhat, so we move that side to the side.
So why was
the process question? Don't we want an updated table then? I mean, we kind of rely on that when we're looking at this.
Well, what we do, revised plan has received our office, and we do not do any
review. Well, I'm going to make a request.
Not really issuing, but it's just updating, just because it is a reference that we look at.
Yeah, I'm going to make a request to be out of the committee that if there's new plans committee with the zoning, there's a change. I go personally, I think I'm like Councilor Schwartz, I go right to that table.
And when the relief needs to be changed, the zoning review is updated.
Right, it's the same relief, I agree, because it's still within that guideline, but it's pretty close, like 8.2 instead of 7.5 versus 18 versus 7.5.
It is, I think it's significant, and I think we need to be armed with the information, and I think the public, neighbors and others who read these memoranda need to have a completely accurate information. So if you would pass that on, please, that'd be helpful. Okay, if you can make a comment. Anything else? All right. We have a motion to approve by Councilor Toting. All in favor of approval? I've got 6 in favor. Any opposed? I've got 1 abstention to be all right. So this passes and goes to the full council. If any book finding you know the drill, you'll, I'm sure, advise the client. Best of luck with your project. Hope it goes well. Thank you. All right, next. This is 226-17, a special permit to allow oversized dormers in the key to FAR 18 Meredith Avenue, James Youngblood. This is in Ward 5. Mr. Youngblood, or the petitioner? You're Mr. Youngblood?
Yes, sir.
Great. Good evening. Just state your name and address and briefly tell us what you're looking for.
James Youngblood, 15 Meredith Avenue. So we have a A-frame roof with a single dormer right now that sort of prohibits access to our third floor. We're looking to extend the dormer towards the street and then add two small dormers and one larger dormer that to give us more headroom on the third floor.
Okay.
That's
the gist of it. That's fine. I always tell students that the story is just fine. So, when you grab a seat, Mr. Greeter, is this yours as well? Do you want to give us an overview?
Yeah. So, as you can see, this is a three dormers and extends the existing one. And it's increasing the FAR to 0.48. So, we currently have 0.42 and 4.6. Is the maximum allowed by the law. So, the request of relief is to allow an oversized dormer. In this case, two dormers in the rear that are taken together are larger than what's allowed, and we see the maximum that they are. These are the criteria to consider the usual physical permit criteria. That is, it's an appropriate location for the single family dwelling. People provide dormers that will not adversely affect the neighborhood. There's no kids or no nieces. I see it's hazardous to vehicles or pedestrians. And access to the site is appropriate. And the FAR that the proposed FAR should be consistent with the mapping delegation of the size, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood. This is a location map with the site in yellow. Showing the two green lines directly to the north, and showing how the site is a corner lot with two frontages. Zoning map, then showing the zoning, single residence, mainly to the north, multi residence to the south. And then it is predominantly residential, both with single and multi family. And the T station is in the kind of design, the triangular design from the north. This is the site plan. There is no change to the footprint because it's a dormers, the footprint is not large. The site plan will remain the same. Again, showing the corner lot. These are the plans and elevations. The upper left is the floor plan of the attic. Showing the floor space created by the dormers and the two effective elevations. The front elevation is in the bottom right, the rear elevation on the top right. Again, on the rear, the top right, you see the two dormers that are taken together, measure more than 50% of the wall below, that's sitting beneath the special frame. Some photos, this is the front. Along Meredith, the proposed dormer on the front would be in the upper left hand side, and that dormer on the right hand side would be the same. Another view of that. Here you can see the rear dormers would be in the general area where the existing skylights are, and because it's a corner lot, the rear of the house. Invisible in the public way. This is not as photos from the Littlemore neighborhood content.
Thank you, Mr. Greeter. Any questions or comments to committee members at the moment? Seeing none, is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Seeing none, do I have a motion to close the public hearing? Facilities move to close the public hearing. All in favor of closing the public hearing? Six in favor, none opposed. Do I have a motion to approve this?
Motion. Motion approved.
Motion approved. Again, folks, lack of comment is good. Can we draft court order from the
I have a question for Michael.
Sure.
So the FAR changes only because we're going up enough in height that we're getting some floor area?
Exactly. So adding a little 250 square feet, you added within the floor,
And those are what count for the floor area and space, right?
And it's such a small lot that that pushes it over the line.
Exactly.
It's like a 4,000 4,000
square foot. So it's that's a little bit bigger lot than the except for the fact that drawings aren't over 50%.
So there's no reason to be some drawings in terms of FAR. The rear drawings here because
in total.
Yeah.
And the distance from the edge is also okay? That's okay.
Why don't we, if we do, just take a moment to go through the first, let's say, three findings, make sure we're comfortable with those.
I just take out only in number five.
Yes. I think I'll do only in number five. And just for Graham, I think it ought to be, will be consistent with, but that's just my personal preference. Okay. I think we're just trying to avoid words on only, we talked about just staying very factual and on the funding. Okay, other than that word slipping, any other comments? I think do you have any conditions, Mr. Graham? All right, so we have findings, we have standard conditions, we have a motion by Council Cody to approve. All in favor of approval? I've got six in favor, none opposed. The item is approved. So, Sir Ma'am, it goes to the full City Council next Monday night. There's no need for you to be here. You're welcome to come, you're welcome to watch us on TV. I can't promise you anything, but most likely this will be allowed as a routine vote on our first call. And then it goes into effect a certain 20 days thereafter. But if you have any questions at all, please contact Mr. Beaver to enjoy the point. Best of luck with your project. Goodbye.
Nobody's going to get that gentleman?
Yeah, would you please?
I was wrong. I was like, you know what? We raise them up and then
you want to pose them. Oh, yeah. Like that.
There's one more.
Still equity.
No, right? For 16 years first.
So we have 60. We have 60 meetings to.
Right, I apologize.
I'll get it.
Got ahead of ourselves.
Our committee clerk back in.
50
years. 50 years.
Oh,
I mean, don't listen to me. Who's next?
All right, so we're moving right along here. We have two matters that I intend to take up pretty expeditiously, and then we have our Tesla Woods and Sunrise, which I hope we're going to hear in the chamber, which I think will take
a
considerable amount of time. All right, 231-17, a special permit to amend Board Order 437-03 at 16 Union Street, 15 D'Amico. This is in Ward 8. We heard this matter previously. College, you recall that we held it because we wanted an opportunity for the legal department to look into this. Mr. Waddick has done so. Could you just give us a brief report, please, Mr. Waddick, and we can hopefully try to ask him that?
There was an issue raised at the last public hearing with respect to a common area and encroachment in the common area. And we did, working with Mr. Cronin, there is a, we did find on record there is a common area between number 60 and number 66. They have mutual rights in that common area. There was an allegation that there are encroachments into that common area. We looked at the plan with a couple of the parking spaces. It looks like there are slight encroachments into what is shown on a plan as the common area. However, the plan that was approved in 2003 with the special permit also shows that. That was, those slight encroachments were shown on the plan that was already approved by the Board of Aldermen in 2003 and then again in 2005 with the subsequent special permit. So our view of the encroachments is that they, they appear to be de minimis, but that is a matter between the property owners, between number 60 and 66. Aside from that, even if the encroaching parking spaces were needed to be removed or modified, there is still adequate parking over and above those spaces for this special permit. It requires 15 spaces, so there are more than an adequate number of spaces to supply the 15, even if 3 or 4 were removed. So we don't feel, we don't feel that there is an issue with respect to granting this relief.
So, just so I'm clear, if you grant this relief, we have a requirement they put just a certain number of parking spaces on the site. We don't dictate where on the site those parking spaces are going to go?
We're not. I don't believe we are dictating. I believe they are the other spaces for the other, that will be the 14 spaces for number 60 prior to the granted under the prior special permit, they're not assigned.
Okay.
And the 10 spaces for the restaurant are not assigned. They're just generally available.
So the conclusion was clear. The conclusion of the legal department is, regardless of whatever dispute there is between the various owners, there is enough space to provide the parking on the site, and our board order will not state where that parking will be so that our board order won't get upset should there be some resolution of the dispute one way or the other. Is that accurate?
I think that's accurate, Mr. Chairman.
All right. With that, I'm going to entertain questions from my colleagues first. The public hearing is still open. I'll open it up for any further comments. And then I'm going to ask for move to close the public hearing after the vote. So questions from colleagues? Anybody? Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Yes, sir. Your name and address?
My name is Paul Sullivan, and I'm the owner of property at 66 Union Street. And so, as I understand, it will be a legal battle between the two property owners, but the special permit still would be able to go forward. Is that correct?
If we vote this out, sir, that would be our view, that the special permit would be properly granted, that whatever disputes there are between the property owners or between the property owners, they'll deal with that privately. Obviously, if a court would disagree with our authority to issue a special permit in the circumstances, that's up to a court, not up to us. But of course, our legal department will, if there's any issues there, they'll deal with it. Bottom line.
That's okay. All we have.
All right. Questions? Councilor Ostenkopf.
What's the reasoning behind the 25 clients per class limit? The 25 clients per class limit?
That's just what we're limiting.
Okay, so that you proposed that, that's not planning suggestion?
Yeah, I proposed that.
Okay.
Yeah, self-imposed.
Well, can I?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Can I just follow up? One of the things we try to do here is make sure that we issue board orders for businesses that allow them to grow in a reasonable fashion. We don't want you coming back here. Unless we really don't.
You're
welcome to come, but we don't want to burden you with
that. That's not a sentiment we want
to. No.
We're only trying to say goodbye.
Yeah, thank you. That's why I like my college more than
levity.
With all seriousness, is the limitation one that you foresee being able to live with as you grow your business?
Yes, because if we get to the point where there are 25 members in a class,
it's programmed now.
Okay, fine. All right, so the terms of the board order, just so we are clear, are ones that you feel as you look forward in the next 2, 3, 4 years with your business that you could live with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. All right, any other questions or comments?
I don't think I closed the public hearing.
Any other member of the public wish to be heard?
I have one more question.
Oh, of course.
The 5:30 a.m., I think we may have talked about this last time, but the 5:30 a.m., is that also proposed by you?
Yes.
So we forced them to open early.
Do I have a motion to close the public hearing? Motion by Councilor Lipoff to close the public hearing. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 6 in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Do I have a motion to act on this? Motion to approve. Do I have a draft board order, Mr. Corrin?
All right.
Let's go to the findings first. Okay.
Right. So, can I ask a question on the first one? Was there something in the first memo, which I'm sorry I didn't bring with me, about the first floor health club issue?
Yeah. First floor health club that requires a special permit in the mixed use zone, however, they do not require the RFID rights above the first floor and below the first floor. And that leads to, from the mixed use zone, three is that first floor by right would lead to more traffic in the smaller parcels, so that if you allow a health club on the second or second story or below the first story, you encourage a mix of uses and therefore use parking demand. So
we need to have that finding because that's required for the special permit, especially for the relief that they need.
Good.
Okay. I just want to make sure that was out there. Yeah, I think that's why it's there.
Any comment on the findings, Paul? I see none. Do we have conditions? No conditions. Two more findings. Just take a look at these two. So let me ask you a question. If the lease expires in 2024, what is going to happen to the apartment? Do you have any plans?
If
I wanted the petitioner to be alert here that there's a requirement that you have the parking, and if you don't have the parking available, legally you will no longer be in compliance with the special permit.
Okay.
Of course.
Well, hopefully we'll have the parking indefinitely beyond 2024. Do we have to come back to...
No, you don't have to see any parking. As long as the parking is available, you're in compliance with the special permit. I think this talks about the fact that at least for the foreseeable 7-year future, their parking is there. I think we need to add something in here that says if, and maybe it's in the conditions rather than the findings, that if the parking is no longer available on the adjacent site, they're no longer in compliance. That work for everybody?
Probably just to add, but
I think we need to
doesn't mention the parking and the conditions.
Right, it does not. Right. It needs to.
Right. Okay.
That's what I'm suggesting we add.
Okay.
Questions on the findings, folks? All right. Conditions, please. Are you comfortable with the prohibition of parking on Sundays, no matter what?
It's a franchise, so you got to make it
for a franchise.
Okay. Fine. Okay. I mean, is there any chance you might change your, I mean, keep the location to change the franchise, though?
No.
You know, I don't know why we don't. Well, it's up to you. I just don't want to see this coming back in here in a year or two.
I looked at this conversation, but I think I was leaving.
You don't have to open. That's a stability that you could. So in other words, it doesn't change your agreement with your party.
We want to give a maximal flexibility here because it's more likely that the franchise will change the location a little bit.
If you're
in
one location, hope not.
If you're in
one location, didn't
used
to go in there, they most likely would open on Sunday. Did
they need a new special permit?
They might.
They might need
it.
Well, they have to come back in depending on what the use is. I think, Congressman Schwartz, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm just going to follow what you guys discussed. Go ahead.
I was just going to suggest maybe we put something in about no class travel before 7 a.m. on Saturday and maybe 8 a.m. on Sunday, something of that nature. Does that make sense?
About
that. Just to give some flexibility here, Congressman Schwartz.
I guess I'm a little confused because this seems to be different from what we're seeing in this graphic here of the X's across the expected schedule. Makes sense, thank you. I mean, so, did I misunderstand? I think these X's were supposed to mean that there would be a class at those times?
Yeah.
Right. So it looks like there's a class at 8 a.m., class at 9 a.m. But this says, no class, I'll be, oh, that's sorry, that's p.m., okay. So there's nothing limiting the lunch hour. I know there was some discussion about the whole restaurant and the mixed, the potential conflict of the uses, or at least the parking demand. So this doesn't do anything to, you're not committing to these times, this is just a proposal. This won't be part of the order.
I think what we're doing is saying these are the limits on the hours of operation. No class can begin before 5:30 a.m. What time do you finish? Are your classes typically?
7:30.
That's your last class?
No, I class
at 7:30. So I think we'd be better off phrasing something like no class, Monday through Friday, no classes shall, the hours of operation of the classes shall be between 5:30 and say 8 p.m.
Whatever.
Something of that nature, give you some flexibility. Or 8:30 even, I mean, I don't think it matters a lot.
Right.
And Sunday, maybe 7 a.m. To say 6 p.m. or 5 p.m. And Sunday 8 and 5, something like that. So we have some hours of operation here. I think that's better, not only for you, but for some other, you know, very similar use that were coming here. Does that work for folks?
Mm-hmm.
Can you deal with that? You're not obligated to operate those hours, obviously, but I'd rather have you have some flexibility. Okay? Anything else, colleagues? Any other conditions?
15 minutes.
The 15 is, it's like what we did with, if you recall, with the Modern Bar project. We had that great 15 classes.
Which one was that? Yeah, I mean, this is the real issue, right? I mean, this is the parking. And so, signage, flyer, should we be a little bit more open about, like, just communicate to its customers?
Why don't we say, rather than signage or flyers, I mean, flyers may be obsolete in the
future. Mm-hmm.
Is it the property owner or is it the...
Operator.
The operator shall provide notice, shall communicate with his customers regarding maybe something a little more directed.
Something like that.
Regarding which parking stalls are available to the users of 60 Needham Street and how to access it.
Try to regulate it. I mean, they have to be responsible for.
I think we need some stronger verbiage here, Mr. Cronin, and if you can get it to us in a draft board order in time, I'm fine doing this on first call. If people have problems with the language, we can always deal with it. Okay, would you be able to get it to us by Friday? All right. Question? You understand what we're requiring is that you communicate with your customer base to make sure they know. We leave it to you how you communicate, but you're charged with that to make sure they know what to talk about. Okay. Yes, Councilor President Lennon?
The conditions that are being carried over, right, those aren't on the petitioner but the owner?
Mm-hmm. Some are on the petitioner, some are on the property owner.
Okay, I'm talking about this existing vegetated hillside between the site and the residence.
Absolutely not.
Okay, I'm just curious. We've had issues before when we've carried conditions over over to two special permits. I know it's got a little convoluted.
Why don't we do this, Mr. Corner? When we go through this, make sure we clearly delineate what is petitioner's responsibility, like communicating with customers is appropriate. And landscaping and all that other stuff, she has no control over it. Okay? Anything else, folks? And I think you need some condition in here that they're going to have. It's about being out of compliance if they don't have the parking. Okay? Alright, anything else? Alright, I have a motion by Councilor Liboff to approve, all in favor of approval. 6 in favor, none opposed. It goes to the full council Monday night. No need for you to be here. Assuming it's voted out favorably, which I anticipate it will be, you'll be able to operate in 20 days. If you have any questions at all, please call me for phone, okay? Good luck with it. Hope it goes well. Thank you. Thank you, sir. All right, next. 224-17, a special permit to increase the non-conforming FAR and setbacks at 168 Allison Road. This is Alan Lobovich and Lisa Rosenfeld, which is in Ward 6. Are they here?
There they are now.
Hello. Sorry for the confusion.
No,
I didn't even know it was here for the barrier. And I run in there.
On the right. And you are, sir?
Oh, sorry.
Your name?
I'm Michael Fuller. I'm the architect.
Okay.
Alan Lovitz, the whole
Good evening, sir. Are they still meeting in next door?
I think so. We're the only ones there.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a 2-minute recess, adjourn next door so we can set up a little more properly, and then we'll get right to you.
Okay.
Okay?
Please. I'll start.
No, come next door. Let me go right in the chamber.
Oops, my fault.